Welcome to the O Woman Podcast, where we discuss so many things about women's sexuality, bodies, thoughts, and lives. We'll talk about everything from our relationships to our orgasms to our children and our ovaries. And we'll share outstanding experiences and ordinary ones. I'm Emma, and a big open welcome to you. Thanks for joining me for the show today. This is episode 62 of the O Woman Podcast. And in today's episode, I wanted to talk about the sexuality of dance and of rhythm. Because a lot of people love dance, and whether you know it or not, rhythm is such an integral part of your life, whether it's through just anything, your work. You have a rhythm to your day, whether or not you think about it as a rhythm or not. So I want to talk about the sexuality of dance, because dance also is really great, as I've mentioned in other episodes, for loosening you up a little bit, for feeling sexy. It's really great for expressing yourself. It's really great for exercise. There's a lot of really great things about dance and movement. And please, let me say that you do not have to consider yourself a great dancer to understand the values of dancing and of moving, because in its most innate way, it is just linked to your animal core. Moving in a way that makes you feel in sync with your life, with your body, is a fantastic thing to do. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about how this movement is very sexual, actually. So the first real rhythm that we experience as humans is something that we experience before we've even come out into the world. We're still in our mother's stomach, and what's the first rhythm we hear? We hear boom, 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 boom. We hear the heartbeat, which a lot of songs that have a heartbeat pace, like spread out in the same way beats per minute kind of thing, as the heartbeat is actually, sometimes people say it's soothing for their children. I know there's a specific Bob Marley song that's pretty soothing for kids if you play it. So I think that's pretty cool because it's the same rhythm as the heartbeat. So rhythm has the ability to soothe. It has the ability to inspire. It has the ability to get your blood pumping and get you wanting to move around. So rhythm is really cool. Now, you start off listening to heartbeat when you're a fetus, and then you come into the world, and probably all you hear are these crazy sounds. You're like, oh my God, what is this rhythm? But over time, as we humans grow up, there's a rhythm to our life. We sleep at a certain time. We wake at a certain time. Whether or not we follow the traditional rhythms of what other people do, we have our own rhythm. Some people have a really fast internal rhythm. I know I do. I speak quickly. I do things quickly. And some people have a slower internal rhythm that's a little bit more calm and relaxed. And I don't think necessarily having a slower rhythm is a relaxed thing. It just depends on your personality. But neither does having a fast rhythm. It doesn't necessarily make you a stressed out, anxious person. It's just your natural pace. Another thing where rhythm really shows up is in sex. If you think about it, sex is so rhythmic. Especially, in my opinion, for women trying to have orgasms. You mess up the rhythm, there is a problem when you think about it. And men, generally, you can tell when they're trying to have orgasms. You can tell they're on a rhythm that might speed up or slow down or whatever, but there's still a rhythm to it. It's not this some sort of just diffuse, random movements. There's a rhythm to it. Because the body appreciates rhythms. It feels pleasure based on rhythm, and it copes better based on rhythm. So one really cool thing I want to say about rhythm, besides just the fact that sex is so rhythmic, is that labor, having a baby, is rhythmic too. So I've been doing a lot of reading because I'm so into birth and natural childbirth. And one of the things that I've been reading was talking about how the biggest deal for women when they're trying to cope during the first phase of labor is ritual, rhythm, and what's the other one? There's three R's. There's ritual, rhythm, and annoyingly, I can't remember the third one. But the main point is that rhythm is one of the important things that accompanies a woman being able to cope well during labor. So if she's engaging in rhythmic behavior, like breathing rhythmically, or having music play and trying to sway to the music or move to the music a little bit, or rocking at a certain time, or acknowledging when her contractions are coming and having someone do this to her back every time, you know, that kind of thing. Being able to ride the waves of the rhythm, kind of like riding the waves of orgasms or whatever, is really beneficial to her being able to cope with some of the more intense, some people would call it painful, experiences that come with actually having a baby. So I thought that was like a fun tidbit to throw out there, that rhythm is related to so many aspects of our life, even some of the most basic animal ones like sex and childbirth, that we almost have no control over. Our bodies seek rhythm out. So it makes so much sense that dance is such an important part of the world, part of culture, and that kind of thing. So I wanted to talk about some of the more sexual dances and just talk a little bit about why they're sexual and in what way we can appreciate them. So the first one I want to talk about is the tango. Now, this was apparently started as a street dance. It's characterized by having bodies really close together. It's become a ballroom dance, you know, since it kind of started on the streets. But bodies are really close together. The legs end up getting crisscrossed around a little bit. Not in a disjointed kind of way, in a very controlled way. And there's a rhythmic closeness to where someone is pulled closer to another person and then they're separated out, which really, really, in my opinion, and in the opinion of a lot of people, imitates a sexuality of some sort, where you come together and you separate and you come together and you separate. So the tango is definitely a really sexual dance, and it's probably something that's harder to do unless you're, you know, a well-trained dancer. I could not do the tango. Some of these other dances I talk about, I could do, or at least I could imitate, and get a lot of the benefits of the cool rhythm and the sexiness that you feel when participating. But just watching the tango, to me, is just a sexy experience. It's just really fun. Now, the salsa is another dance that sometimes people think, oh, it's similar to the tango. It has influences from similar parts of the world, but it's still rather different. It was started in New York around the 1970s, and it was started by, mostly by immigrants from different Latin American countries. So mostly Cuba, you know, Puerto Rico, different places like that were really involved in molding and changing and creating what salsa is. So there's a whole lot of hip movements in salsa. And if you think about it, the hips in dance we're moving the hips in dance. It's a really sexual thing. And so, and the reason for that is, if you think about it, during sex, hips are moving all over the place because the hips are what control your genital regions, which you're trying to rub up against somebody else. And that's just the truth. So salsa, the fast hip movements that women do, and that the men do, is another way that this dance is very sexual, in a different way than the salsa. In a different way than the tango, because the tango has a closeness and separate, that is really noticeable to me. And the salsa has some of that too, but the impressive thing about that is the rapid hip movements, which is just amazing that people can do that. And I like to try to dance like that, but I couldn't do it as well as other people, for sure. Now, even though the tango and the salsa didn't originate as ballroom dances, they are ballroom dances. So there's a certain aspect now to where there's almost more of a tightness of the body, like an erect stature. You're usually standing upright, and a tightness of the movements, very crisp movements. But which to me is rather different than the next dance I want to talk about, which is like African dance, specifically West African dance, where there's a lot of whirling limbs and a lot of sweating, which is part of it. And all dancers sweat. But I feel like some of these jumps and these kicks that some of the West African dancers do, it's just so impressive. There's a lot of stomping. There's a lot of groundedness, which to me is probably some of the most sexual type of dancing and the most sort of animal connected dancing, the stuff that I feel more connected to. There's chest and hip kind of shaking and moving, kind of popping a little bit. Now modern, you know, hip hop will say like pop it and lock it, but you can see some influence, you know, I would imagine that from West African dance, where there's isolations of the chest and the hips. That to me is a little bit more of an earthy sexuality and not such a fiery sexuality. And this kind of dance, I naturally sort of but when I dance just on my own to music, I find myself doing kind of a combination, honestly, between the two, but an earthier, stompier version of dancing than kind of the Latino salsa and tango dancing. Another one that I've I took a class for this actually once, is belly dance. And a lot of people misunderstand belly dance and think like, oh, it's like, you know, you just show your stomach and just wander about, like sashaying around the room. That isn't the case. Belly dance is actually really hard. And most women are belly dance, or most belly dancers are women. There's some men that do it too. But it's a little bit harder to isolate hips when you're a guy because you have less wide hips. That's just the thing. But belly dance, there's generally some sort of undress going on with belly dance. Usually, the top is covered, but the stomach is exposed in almost all cases. And one of the theories about it is that it was a childbirth dance, and that's why it has so many isolations of different body parts in it, and stomach rolls and hip movements and rhythms related to that torso area, is because supposedly in this idea of where belly dance came from, it was supposed to help women go through childbirth through having practiced their muscles and having different coping strategies and ways to move that could help them throughout the course of labor. Belly dance to me is a really fun thing. And like I said, I think a lot of people misunderstand it and think that it's kind of a neo-hippie sort of thing to do. But I thought it was really fun and really empowering and really hard. Really empowering in that it's so fantastic to learn how to isolate aspects of your body that you didn't know you could disconnect. Like your hips from your waist and send your hips way out to the side while your waist stays in the middle. It's kind of unbelievable. And when you first think about it, you're like, how is that possible? All those different isolations. But it really is. You just have to have a tighter muscle control in that area. Now, a lot of dance, I mean, all of dance needs really tight muscle control, but not always in such a little teeny specific way that's little specific movements. But because belly dance is such a hippie and chesty and isolated kind of dance, you can see how it looks very sexual and is actually a sexual feeling dance when you dance because you're isolating so many parts of your body. You feel body parts inside of you and on the outside of you moving in such a new way that you're like, whoa, I didn't know that was there. I didn't know that felt like that. So to me, it's really sexual to actually participate in because it kind of wakes you up and makes you go, oh, hey, I didn't know about this body part until now. I didn't know I can do that until now. And then another more modern dance, you know, that's not been around as long is like the classic kind of booty dance, which isn't really, I don't think, an actual form of dance, but you know exactly what I'm talking about. You go to the club and you're dancing and you got your butt jiggling around and, you know, you might be doing some upper body stuff, but it's generally more of a butt dance. Honestly, that's what I call booty dancing. The focus is on the butt and the crotch. And so there's like a lot more bending over so that the butt is more on display and making the butt kind of jiggle up against itself. And this also has to do with isolation. Like, it's hard to booty dance. You have to know how to move your hips in a way that your butt moves, but the rest of you doesn't move that much. It's a really impressive thing. And another thing that really kind of wakes that area up and makes you go, these muscles and these, you know, bits of tissue are moving together in a way that I didn't know they could. So in general, all these forms of dance, I think, are really great ways to kind of get sort of sexually warmed up. And they're all have, that to me, they have slightly different elements to them. And there's so many other dances that are really sexual or that are really rhythmic or that are really spiritual and important that can all be related to sexuality. But these are the ones that I wanted to focus on today because these are the ones that I felt like were different enough from each other. But also ones that I found to be more sexual and make you feel more sexy when you do them. Another thing that all these dances have in common is the fact that you're sweating your butt off. And I mentioned this with the West African dance, but you're sweating and your heart rate has gone up and your blood is pumping, which is another thing that is like sex because that happens during sex. It's like that for other exercises too, because dancing and sex and other exercises are all forms of exercise. But because so much of dance moves are very physical and open and show off the body as opposed to maybe like running is a more contained kind of, it's not like, let me show off my body while I exercise, kind of thing, that there's a lot more of a sexual kind of undertone that goes with it, which I think, you know, should be appreciated for what it is because dance is innately animal and rhythmic and sexual. That's pretty much what I wanted to talk about today. And I wanted to encourage you to think about looking into some of these dances. I know that Zumba is another dance that a lot of women I've talked to enjoy. It makes them feel sexy. It makes them feel strong. It gets their heart rate up. But I encourage you to look into some of these dance styles or just any way that you feel sexy dancing. And think of it as a way to warm up your sexuality when you need an extra boost or anything like that. Because dance, to me, is one of the more primal animal aspects of our human selves. We have a lot of them, I think, still. But I think dance is one of the big ones, and it connects you to your deeper internal rhythm and being connected to nature and all things that have a larger rhythm than just the human rhythm that we have created, you know, in the past 100 years or 200 years, keeping up with the times and stuff like that. So I think dance kind of slows you down, even though it physically speeds you up, and it connects you with some of these deeper feelings and deeper passions, which unlocks your body, it unlocks your brain, it unlocks your emotions, and of course, therefore unlocks your sexuality in a way that might be fresh for you, might be fresh for your partner, and is certainly going to be refreshing and fun. So that's it for the show today. I want to thank you so much for listening. As always, I'm Emma for the O Woman Podcast. Be sure to check the O Woman Podcast out on Facebook. Check us out on iTunes, subscribe, please rate the episodes, that would be awesome. And of course the website, owomanpodcast.com. If you go to episode archives, you'll find every single one you've missed if you're interested in catching up. You can also email me, emma@owomanpodcast.com, if you have ideas or questions or anything like that. I would love to hear from you always. Love talking with you guys, and thank you so much for listening, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Okay, bye.